Welcome to the doghouse here on ntnradio.com.
.com.
Welcome back, Warren.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Ken does a good impression.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
This is the last week's show. He does a horrible imitation.
I don't know. It sounded pretty spot on.
He doesn't even sound like himself.
No, that is actually true. It's been a long time.
I think he sounds like...
Grumpy?
A socialist from Venezuela.
Well, he maybe by injection.
I listened to the show and you guys kept disparaging me.
Yep, well, that's what happened.
Tossing me under the bus and then backing over me.
Well, that's what happens
when
you get suspended.
But I have to point out
yeah.
Who's ahead in the poll between the three of us.
Oh, low blow. That's how you get your picks lost?
Luckily, nothing's ever lost in the internet.
Yeah, well, no, they will be. I can go back and change the internet. The internet is mine to finagle however I want.
You like to fondle the internet?
I fondle the internet. I remember when it was a little wee baby and I used to change its diapers.
We were the OG of the
OG internet. Internet OG. I'd rather be a YG, young gangster than OG, old gangster. Yeah, although I'm feeling old. We survived the tornadoes. They didn't come up our way. They were scared. They didn't want no part of this.
They saw Front Royal and said, no way.
They're like, Manassas, we can't go there. That's how you get mugged. Right? Manassas ain't no joke right here in Devil's Town. That's what they call it, Manassas. So we're alive and kicking. The torrential rains came. I doubt I'll be able to make it back to my house tonight.
That's possible.
The roads going to it have flooded over since I left, but, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, that's why God invented tents. No, I'll make it somehow. I'll go over the mountain.
If you can't, you can always come to my place.
Yeah, over the mountain, through the woods to Philbert's house. The mom's house we go. That's how that works. Yeah, we had racing in Putumayo.
Really?
Yeah, World Superbike.
You said that right?
Putumayo.
Are you saying it right?
Yes.
Okay.
Putumayo. How do you want to say
it? No, I was just checking.
Putumayo, I believe. I could be wrong. Whatever, Mr. Ridiculous Racing. Not Ridiculous Racing.
Yes, and we had same results.
Yeah, it was kind of boring. We got a lot of other stuff to talk to. That's why we're getting into World Superbike right away. It was kind of, you know, here's the deal. Maybe Johnny Ray needs to start each race with like a 40-second penalty.
Is that going to be enough?
I don't know.
He has started from last place on the grid and still won the race.
Yeah, so it's like you got to throw 30 seconds to the field.
Yeah, I've always said, well, do you take Johnny Ray or do you take the field if he was betting?
You got to take Ray.
Yeah, because he's what? He's won...
most of them.
Most
of them. And
four times a season, he's doubled.
Yeah. And it's at a point where it's like, it's a little tiring to watch, and it's sad because it's usually a great series, and I probably wouldn't be this.
It was a great series.
I probably wouldn't be this like down on Johnny Ray winning all the time if it wasn't the fact that he's been winning all the time for now 4 years.
Yes.
Right? It's like nobody likes seeing that kind of domination in a row.
He's up 116 points with three rounds left. Unless he just doesn't finish. I mean, unless he just decides not to show up from now on.
Yeah, two races he doesn't even show up to the race weekend, and the other one he has crappy finishes.
And even with that, it's not guaranteed he would still lose.
Right.
Depends on who came in first.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just... And it's been this way the last couple seasons.
116 points ahead of Chaz Davies, his teammate. And there's only 150 points up for grabs over the next.
Yeah, there's 150 points left, and he's got 160. So, in other words, he could actually wrap it up the next round.
Yes. He could wrap it up. But like I said, even if he didn't show up, there's still a good chance he could win.
I mean, the best thing for the sport.
He might win without showing up the rest of the season.
There's a good chance of that. The best thing for the sports if he doesn't show up the next 2 weekends.
Well, the best thing for the sport is if they could figure out how to move him up to.
Move him up to where?
MotoGP. That's real. That's really the only place for him to go.
I don't see that happening. Nope. Anyways,
Kawasaki would lose him, and that would be something right. They don't want to do.
They don't want to lose Johnny Ray,
and they don't seem to be any indication that Kawasaki's wanting to move up to that and be competitive.
Well, they are though. Looks like they're going to be racing Rasgata Luigo. Luigo.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
That's the guy Ken picked in the pool. Looks like he's on track to be maybe the next Kawasaki rider, maybe?
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
If I had my choice between him I think
he's signed. I should probably Google that. Before I talk too much trash, I should probably...
Okay, you had your choice between that guy and Ray to go to MotoGP. Which one would you take? Is that Harvard decision?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I mean, this guy's from Turkey, and we all know I love turkey. Smoked, fried.
Baked.
Baked. On a sandwich. It doesn't much matter. I don't know. I always like taking the young person. I mean, this guy's 21. That guy is 21. So I don't feel like... Johnny Ray is not 21 anymore, right? He's just not.
No, but there's no one beating him in his class.
Yeah.
And I imagine that straight up, he could beat this other guy in any class.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy's 21. Yeah, so he signed a 3-year deal. Who did he sign a 3-year deal with?
You said Kawasaki.
I thought. That doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm saying that like it's not important. But the bottom line is Tom Sykes is leaving Kawasaki. Looks like the writing is on the wall for that. And there's a big rumor going around right now that Sykes is going to end up at World Superbike's HRC team. The 10K Red Bull Yamaha. I mean, Red Bull Honda.
That is a huge mistake. Because that bike is not competitive.
Yeah, but
I'm looking at
Sykes
this first.
Is one of the reasons that the Kawasaki got competitive. So if you're Kawasaki and you want to spend a little money to make your bike competitive, Sykes is a pretty good pick.
I mean Honda.
Sykes is a pretty good pick, right? Like he was a good pick for Kawasaki. I think they were trying to do that with Nicky Hayden, but Nicky Hayden passed away.
Yeah, that's true. But here,
they signed Jake Gagne. Listen, I love Jake Gagne. He's a great guy. I thought it was a mistake.
It's been around the top 10. It's been at the bottom of the top 10.
Hayden was getting it up to 6, but he only had half a year on it.
Yeah, well.
You know, it's hard to develop a bike in 6 months.
But he also had several finishes below 6, too.
It's hard to develop a bike in 6 months.
Yeah.
Gagne, to finish out that season was the right call. To re-sign Gagne, I don't view Gagne as a development rider, and we all know the Honda needs development. You know, I've seen the article, arguments that people are like, well, you know, Honda needs to give 10K parts and all this kind of stuff.
I think the Yamaha would be a better choice for Davies.
You mean Sykes?
Sykes, yeah. Because, you know,
okay,
it's competitive.
Yes. But I always believe, and Ken always believes, the better place is the people with the most money to offer. And I'm sure Honda is probably offering out some more cha-ching.
Yes, and then what we're going, some of the follow-up stories we have this afternoon probably push that even further to being a true statement. And you have a point with that. So you guys have to hang around for the rest of the show to understand what we're talking about. But, yeah, Honda probably definitely has a better financial offer than Yamaha does.
Yeah, well, I mean, and Honda is just
you're distracted. What's going on in that head of yours?
I am. I'm trying to word this so that I don't seem insulting to Gagne, but Gagne's a little long in the tooth. He doesn't have the experience on the world scene. I think that was a mistake. They brought Gagne over to be a season rider. But if I'm Sykes, that's not a bad deal. They're going to overpay you, and you're going to develop the bike for them. Not a bad way. Not a bad place. I like that pick for them. It gives them a rider they know can win. They know knows the tracks. They that understands the tire setup. That racing world superbike level is not new to him, right? I'm not picking on Gagne at all, but the input he's giving him might not be that good because he's inexperienced on all these tracks, on the different brand of tires. You know, we heard Heron talk true. About the difference of the tires after running both races at Laguna Seca, right? So it's kind of like, I actually like this.
Well, I'm not opposed to it, but I just don't think Honda, unless Honda's throwing money at him, I don't
see
that.
I'm sure they are. I can't imagine Tom Sykes is cheap.
Well, you know.
Maybe. What do I know? You know, it could be like, hey, man, you ain't got a job.
But are there any, you know, before we move off of World Superbike, are there any spots going to be available for a possible American move up? Bouvier is, you know, a two-time champ, Moto America champion. He did it pretty convincingly this year by beating Elias, even when Elias had the bike was running well.
I don't know if there's room for Bouvier.
Because I'm looking at the top 10 finishers, or actually the top 14 finishers, the point finishers in the first race. Loris Baz, is he going to be around next year? Probably.
Yeah, Bouvier's got a pretty good Yamaha contract. So I would imagine Bouvier is going to want to stay at Yamaha.
Well, that's Alex Lowe's and Vandermark if he wanted to go factory.
Yeah, I don't see Vandermark's ride being available.
I don't either.
Lowe's?
I don't know.
I don't see his ride. You know, that's a bad ride because it has a problem staying up on two wheels. some people say rider error. Other people say no. Here's the bottom line, right?
You got Eugene Laverty. He may or may not be.
If I'm Yamaha, am I taking somebody out of Moto America? Am I taking somebody out of British Superbike or CEV? Or
if Australian you're Yamaha, Superbike? You're taking them somewhere else, and only
for
because of what we're going to be talking about here in a few minutes.
Yeah, the fan base and what's going on in Moto America. So. It's hard, but I don't see there being a spot for Bouvier.
So is there going to be
on a top level team? Let me say that.
Okay. Well, I won't. I can't argue that too much. But is there going to be any spots available for another American or even for Gagne next year?
I think we see Gagne back in Moto America next year, or maybe he stays over in Europe and he tries for British Superbike or CEV or. Something, you know, I mean, the problem is with Jake is that he's not exactly young anymore. I mean, I like to think of him as young.
I think he's like 28, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like 27, 28, somewhere in there. So he's kind of hard to view as somebody that you'd say, oh, yeah. 26, I'm sorry, he's 26. Just turned 26. He's younger than I thought.
Okay, well, then he's still...
still a little... And this is one thing I hate about pro racing across the board right now. They seem to be like, yeah, I don't really care about age and experience. I want the young guy, right? Marquez, these guys coming up, they're in their early 20s. Jake at 26.
Marquez is an abnormal... You know, I heard what you guys said last week on the show about the age and everything. Throw out Marquez because he's an abnormally good rider. I mean, he's just, you know, he is a phenomenon. But if you start bringing in really younger guys hoping to catch a Marquez lightning in the bottle for somebody else,
mm-hmm.
all you're going to do is have a high turnover and a lot more wrecks.
I agree. Okay.
Is that good or bad? I personally think it's bad.
I don't like it. I like when guys have to earn their way in.
Yeah, well, I don't mind that too, but I don't think it's bad because it doesn't allow you to build up a fan base for any particular rider.
Right.
And as we've said on multiple occasions, it's a dual deal. You got the league, MotoGP, and you got the team players, the riders. You know, they got to support each other.
Well, you know, we say that, but that's not necessarily always how Supercross works. I mean, 10 years ago in Supercross, it was Ryan Villopoto, Kawasaki. Now it's Eli Tomac. In 2 years, who knows? It could be Adam Ciancerola. It could be Joey Savacci, Kawasaki, that you associate with it. Right. I think the problem is with racing is in motor in supercross and motocross, it's different. It's a physical beating on your body. And when you're 4 or 5 years at the top level of your game, you need to get out. Like, I don't like Chad Reed, and the reason I don't like Chad Reed is because he's still there.
Still finishes top 10.
If he gets the Suzuki ride, the factory Suzuki ride.
No, he's not.
I'm going to be really pissed.
He's not getting a factory ride. He'll be back, but he'll be riding his
He's going to be riding their factory bike at the Monster Energy Cup.
Yeah, but that's because somebody, who is it that's injured? Shoot, I don't remember. Somebody's injured, he's getting that ride.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
No,
I don't see him having a factory
ride
all season.
But the problem is that road racing, while it's rough on your body, it's not as rough as Supercross. And you get these guys, if you bring up Marquez at 21, right? He's going to have 15 years of contracts, right? We have that with Rossi right now. Rossi's been racing since...
Again, two abnormally good riders.
Yeah, but unfortunately, though, in their time, we haven't seen that many other people drop out. I think guys are staying. I think physical conditioning and diets and stuff like that has gotten so good, and surgeries have gotten so good, and repairing them when they fall has gotten so good that the life of a racer, pro racer, in almost any form of racing,
is longer.
Is now 15 years or 20 years when it used to be 5 or 10 years.
Can't disagree with that.
And the equipment, oh man, I'm going to catch some hell on this. The equipment is so much easier to ride than it was
supposedly
in the 80s.
You know, I've never rode one of these big super bikes.
I haven't either.
But everything you read leaves you to
believe that it's easier.
Yeah, than it was even 10 years ago.
And I'm not saying guys like Rossi and Lorenzo are not great champions.
No.
But it's so much easier that you can hang on longer.
Marquez shows that. I mean,
I don't mean hang on in the corner longer or something. I mean hang on to your career, which Rossi's showing.
Okay.
Josh Hayes, you know, if you like Josh Hayes, and I don't know why you listen to this show, but Josh Hayes was not a top-level rider when he was in his peak years. Right? He was not a championship contender in his peak years.
See, you're getting ready to prove my point.
You don't have a point.
Yes, I do. You're bringing up all these younger guys.
Josh Hayes is old.
Well, he wasn't at one time. He was always old. But if you bring up these younger guys in the hopes that you're going to have another Marquez, now you're going to start having these young guys stay around for 5 or 10 years.
15. That's the problem.
No, only the special ones are going to go that long. You know, if you're not winning championships within 5 or 6 years, 10 years.
Okay, but
you might be a top ten. But who are you blocking? You're blocking people a lot longer than you were blocking people before.
Right, and that's we have the same point. I think you don't realize, but we agree.
Okay, that's not possible.
We agree because I look at it and I say, wow, send your hate mail to Ken at ntnradio.com just because he loves hate mail. But, like, I look at Nicky Hayden. Nicky Hayden won the championship in 06. He was competitive. He was on a couple rides. Then as he started fading, Nicky Hayden, when he was 35 and not on a competitive ride and not got a chance of winning a championship, unfortunately, the money's too good. It's the team's fault, not the riders.
On that, and when you get to that level,
it's the team's fault, not the riders.
But
even with Josh Hayes, it was the team's fault, not the riders. They're offering too much money. If he wasn't getting the big contract,
Why would you walk away?
I'd ride the bike
until it was dead in myself.
Yeah, you can't walk away from the money. But what happens is they're still offering him money because they're saying, well, we want his fan base, we want his T-shirt sales, we want this, we want the best possible rider. And you're now all of a sudden, now Nicky Hayden's racing until his late 30s.
We want to sell yellow smoke grenades.
Well, but Rossi still can win. This is the first year in a while he hasn't won a race.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Rossi was still winning. Hayden wasn't. Colin Edwards wasn't. I like Colin Edwards. I sat down and watched a MotoGP race with him at Barber, and that was the most wild thing I've ever done. To hear a guy that's run MotoGP talk about stuff over your shoulder. Which, Ken and I sat there, it was a treat. right? So but I'm not picking on them.
Now you're going to get guys, because of this younger pursuit, now you're getting guys who are getting promoted that do they deserve it?
Right.
Johan Mir, well, Joan Mir, whatever you want to call
it. Well, the problem is though, you had a bunch of Moto 2 guys that never got moved up. And they kind of fell into the back. Like so there's the stigmatism of racing, right? I don't know how to explain this so that it comes out clear. I'm hoping it does. Right? If you look at it in a three level progression by age kind of thing, right? When you come into the sport, you're usually in Moto 3. You're 17, 18, 19 years old, 21 years old. Your first ride might not be on a great bike, right? So you spend 2 years learning the tracks, learning this, learning that. And then probably by the time you're like 21, 22, you get a ride on a decent bike to show what you got, right? If you don't win a championship or you don't finish top five, the chances of you getting re-signed again are harder and harder each time. Right?
Which makes sense.
You get signed, you move up. Well, up are all the other guys that have won in the past before you, the last 4 or 5 years. The guys who are top fives the last 4 or 5 years should all be in Moto 2 waiting for their chance to get into Moto GP. Right? But again, there's that age stigma to, well, you're 25. Five and in Moto 3, even if you win a championship, now is that worth moving you up to Moto 2? You get to an age where it becomes questionable. Or like, how come you couldn't win? Now all of a sudden you're in Moto 2. Maybe you hit it at 21 because you were one of the freaks that came in and won early. It was on a good enough bike to win early. Now you're in Moto 2, so you got 2 years, maybe 3 years to learn the bikes, to learn this, to move up. Not everybody goes from Moto 3 champ to Moto 2 champ to Moto GP racing, right? There's a couple years in there. Marquez didn't do it. Nobody does it. So now you're sitting there, and if you're out of Moto 2 by 26, now you're in the prime of your career. You can get a good ride in Moto GP if you won the championship, right? And that's where you should be. Now you got 4 or 5 years of good racing. Some guys have more. Some guys have less. But you got 4 or 5 years of your peak.
See, that sounds like what Zarco pretty much did.
Right, like Zarco's a good example, yeah. Right?
But
Zarco gets hurt by what's going on, by bringing up the Marquez, by bringing up some of these other guys,
the Mir,
at such a young age. Bradley Smith was another one of them, right? That all of a sudden, Zarco now, when it was his shot time to shine, the top bike wasn't there. Well, now he's been on a back bike.
And still did well.
But he's still been on a back bike, so you got no wins. You got no, you know, you're not finishing top five in the points. And now I'm looking and I'm saying, well, I can have Zarco or I can have a young guy. Well, Zarco's been here, and what has he done? Nobody goes, well, Zarco's been on an old SE bike and he's outperformed it. Like, there's no credence given to I overachieved on this bike. In racing in general, there's no special award for overachieving on crappy equipment. Nobody ever gets the reward.
But Zarco did get a reward. He's now going to be on the factory KTM bike.
Only because the team he was on is switching to KTM.
Factory KTM.
But that's the only reason.
I'm not going to argue that point.
So, and I'm not knocking Zarco.
I would like to think he would have got a better ride had there been a place for him to go.
I mean, right. Well, that's the problem. You got 72-year-old Rossi. You got Marquez, who's in his 20s. But
I think he's only 25.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And you got Lorenzo,
who's 28, 29.
I still don't understand that move, but okay.
I understand that move. You've been winning. You don't want you want crappy 31. Lorenzo's 31, right? But Lorenzo's been there for how many years now? He's been there for 8 years. He's been there since he was 23. He was another freak that got moved up really quick, right?
And he's been on good bikes, but hasn't. Other than he's got two championships, right?
Three.
Okay.
2010, 2012, 2015.
So he's done okay.
Yeah.
He's one of the ones that have done okay. Most of them don't, though.
Right. But what I'm saying is you're starting to get these guys where they're holding up that seat for 10 years, 15 years instead of 5. So you're losing entire generations of riders. Yeah. Moto America, that's Moto America's biggest problem. Moto America's biggest problem right now is the fact that for the last 10 years, they've been dominated by old guys. Tony Elias, old. Josh Hayes, old.
Well, maybe that's...
Bobby Fong, getting old. And I like, you know, it's not like I'm saying this as people I hate. I like Bobby Fong. He's old. Danny Eslick's old now. I don't even know how old he is, but he's old. He feels old.
Doesn't matter if he's only 25, does it?
Not really, because he's been around for a while. He's 32.
I know.
Danny Eslick's a good guy. Fast. He's a J.D. Beach kind of guy, right? But even J.D. Beach is 27?
26.
26, 27, right?
Yeah, right there.
Look at J.D. Beach. J.D. Beach has been held up because of Josh Hayes. Because each year when guys like Heron would get a bump to go to Moto 2 and stuff like that, well, Heron got the bump. Cam Bouvier moved up because Josh Hayes never left. There was no seat. So J.D. Beach stayed in Supersport for 5 years or 6 years.
He's got two championships.
And 2 second places, I think?
Yep. That, to me, so if you got 2 championships and 2 seconds within a five-year period, you're
obviously doing
something right.
You brought this up. Wait, oh, God, this is going to kill me. I cannot believe I have to say you're right, and I agree with you. This is killing me. This is killing me. If you don't believe this is killing me, you don't listen to this show enough. You're right when you talk about...
Well, my earbud fell out. What'd you say?
No, I will never say it again. But when we talk about how you get points out of the 250s.
Yeah.
I had the same conversation this weekend with a buddy of mine who works in NASCAR media, and we were just talking about stuff. I said, the Nationwide Series, the NASCAR needs to do the Supercross thing where you get bumped out. Like, you don't see Ryan Villop, you don't see Eli Tomac drop down to 250s to drive 250s, right? You need to be able to point, you have to be able to point these guys out, and that would
Once you're no longer competitive at the top of the NASCAR chain,
you start falling.
Well, but you shouldn't be allowed to fall back into the next level.
Yeah,
down.
But like in Moto, I'm just you should let's, go to let's a senior, MotoGP.
Maybe they need to create a seniors league or
World
something.
World Supersport.
Same thing. But whatever it is, you can't fall back. Moto3 guys, MotoGP guys should not be allowed to fall back.
Well, they don't, and they never do. Well, a couple do. A couple have.
I will say.
You're right. Some have. I can't argue that. Not only should you not be allowed to do that, but like, when we talk, because we started this conversation on World Superbike, and we've kind of jumped all over the place, and if that's hard to listen to,
that's just the way it is. You've heard it once before.
We've gone that
again,
way.
It's just the way we are.
But look at Keenan's Sofoglou.
How many years? A decade? He held up a seat.
But he was still winning. But he was a decade of dominating a lower class.
Yeah, kind of like what's going to happen with Ray.
No, this is different. Ray is dominating the top level class. Sofoglou was dominating a low level class where you don't get to build the future guys of tomorrow because you got some guy in his 70s racing. And, you know, you always hear the argument, well, he should be able to win. They should be able to beat the old guy.
Well, that's not a bad statement to make because that's a true statement.
But the one thing that you learn from watching a lot of racing and watching a lot of different types of racing, it's that old guys get crafty. Look at Rossi. Rossi shouldn't be able to hang with the leaders. If you put Rossi on a better bike, Rossi wins. It's not because I think Rossi has gotten faster in his old age. It's because he's become more crafty.
He knows the tracks better.
He knows exactly where, he knows how the track's going to change. He knows all that stuff. He knows where he needs to be. He knows where to pass people. Because where maybe Marquez has been to that track 5 times, Rossi's been there 20.
Or more,
right? Hayes was pretty much dominating Moto.
So what's your, I'm going to skip us ahead here a little bit. What's your rumor mill for Vinales' replacement for next year?
Me. I'm not sure Vinales is out.
You don't? He's had a crappy year.
I'm not sure he's out.
And I don't know if it's all the bike, because Rossi has the same bike, but doing better. Zarco had a similar bike and is doing just as well.
I'm not sure he's out.
Zarco was doing just as well until they had that big Tech 3.
Until the big announcement.
Yeah.
You talking about well, stupid things you never want to do. We're changing people. Yeah, that was dumb. I don't think Vinales is out. I think he gets one more year.
Okay.
Well, he has the contract for one more year. I mean, technically, he's still fifth in points.
I thought this was his second year.
But I think he had a 3-year deal.
Okay. Most of them are two.
Yeah, technically, he's still fifth in points. He's still fifth in points.
Who's fourth?
Fourth is Lorenzo. Third is Rossi. Second is Dovi. By only 3 points over Rossi. As much as we poop on Rossi,
he's still hanging in there.
He's 3 points out of second place. Marquez has got us almost 70-point lead. But at the end of the day, I don't think Vinales, if you showed me how crappy that bike's been, and how crappy I think of his races have been, and then you tell me he's fifth in points, I say, man, that guy outperformed on that bike.
Or is it because there are no other bikes that are competitive? Oh.
I can't argue that either.
Yeah.
The difference in setups and stuff like that in all these classes is just killing these bikes, right? It's just killing guys. But, you know, listen, Daniel Petrucci is moving up to factory Ducati. And he's ninth, eighth in points.
So Ducati's going to go back to eighth place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like my legacy. No, but I don't know how he'll do on the other bike.
Yeah.
When I look at what's going on in motorcycle racing, and just racing in general, the biggest thing I see wrong is that the equipment's gotten so good that guys can hang on to their career too long. Before the show started, we were talking about Chad Reed. Chad Reed's old. Chad Reed needs to retire.
He has, and he came back.
Yeah, he needs to stay retired. There should be no backsies.
He only retired for about 6 weeks.
Yeah, no backsies. You know, but that's it. So what that says to me is Chad Reed doesn't have the fan base, because Dungey retired, he ain't coming back. Villopoto retired, he ain't coming back. He's doing other things. Hell, Villopoto's all over the news lately. When Rossi retires, he can make enough money doing lunches. You know, I'm gonna play golf with these people. Hey, I'm gonna invite these people over. I have my team. I have this. Part of it is that guys like Marquez and stuff. Marquez is gonna have 15 years of racing on us, and he's gonna have, because he's now a 4-time champ.
Yeah,
he'll have rides until he doesn't want. Right.
Yeah, and I don't see anyone beating him again next year unless Lorenzo.
Lorenzo. I told Ken, you want to go on the five guys bet, I'll do that too.
Unless Lorenzo just mucks up the team dynamics so much.
Yep. Where hasn't he done it?
Which seems like he's capable of doing it.
Oh yeah. He's like cancer. I think Jorge Lorenzo translates to terminal cancer in English.
European to English translation.
European to English translation right there. So you know, going back to our original discussion about Sykes and guys like that, I mean, Honda needs a development rider, because that bike stinks.
Yeah.
Sykes is a good fit for it. They got the money to pay him.
Could bring Stoner in.
Well, there is rumor Stoner's going to be at Honda next year. His Ducati contract's up. But is Stoner going to be at Honda helping him with World Superbike, or is he going to be at Honda being referee between Marquez and Lorenzo? Or is he going to be at Honda and not, you know, just
I run? Imagine that the Lorenzo and Marquez pit stop areas will be at the opposite ends of the pit lane.
I hope not. I hope they're right next to each other.
Speaking of Yamaha, heard some kind of frustrating news about them this week.
Yeah. It's
one of these things.
It's like Moto America is the guy boxing Mike Tyson for the championship when Tyson was in his prime.
No matter what you do,
no matter what happens, you're getting punched in the face.
Best plan. You have better skills, You have better speed. You have better power. And it just don't matter.
It just don't matter. Yeah, they got a big kick in the teeth this week when Yamaha announced they were pulling out of the Super Sport sponsorship. I know they're still working on trying to work a way that they stay. But, you know, the team of JD Beach, the team of...
Yes, Yamalu Graves Yamaha.
Yeah, the team... Now you screwed me up. I was going to say Cam Peterson, but it's not. Who's the other? Garrett Gerloff.
Yes.
No, not Garrett Gerloff. He's moved up. Cam Bouvier, Garrett Gerloff. Who's Beach's teammate? I can't think of his name now.
It doesn't matter.
It kind of does, but that was a jerk thing to say to that guy. But anyways,
well, for the conversation, it doesn't really matter.
You know, they're pulling out. They're pulling the money out. So, three things come to mind. One, we also got to read about how
Yamaha USA.
Yamaha USA is moving to Atlanta. Thank God they're getting out of California. Yeah. Honda, Kawasaki, all you other guys, get out of there. It's a disease. And they're coming over to save money because it's cheaper to live near Atlanta. It's cheaper to have equipment, property there. It's
cheaper all around.
I can't believe I'm saying this about any other city in the U.S.
Atlanta is very expensive.
For the East Coast, yes.
But it's still cheaper than
California.
Los Angeles. So you got Yamaha. Well, even before that, you had the other thing about Yamaha. They're a 19% drop in their overall sales, not just street bikes or sport bikes or dirt bikes. Overall, they've had across all their product line.
Guess they only had JD Beach this year.
No, I didn't think there was anybody.
Yeah, Masiato was racing. That's who I was trying to think of. But he was racing the Yamaha Champion Riding School Racing. I was thinking it wasn't, but okay.
But Yamaha's had a big drop in sales.
When was the last time you saw a Yamaha commercial on TV?
The only ones that really pop into my head are two. The shared Toyota commercials.
During Supercross. Which are really just Toyota commercials. They're Toyota trucks with JGR Ryder at the time, Barcia. Right, doing the ad.
And then when they, I think, and I'm not positive, maybe this is just something I had a bleed over from the internet on, when they come out with that three-wheel scooter motorcycle combination with the two front wheels that are real close together.
Oh, yeah.
The Tegan or something like that.
Yeah, I can't think of what
I can't remember
called,
if that was a TV commercial or an internet commercial. But you're right. I don't see any advertisements. But at the same time, you don't see many advertisements for motorcycles, period, anymore.
I think you do. I think
because the internet is so niche. If you looked at motorcycles on the internet, you're going to see motorcycle ads.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can count.
But
that.
I don't see. You know, the problem with me is I don't watch a lot of live TV.
Better Homes and I don't watch a lot of it either. But I probably watch more than you do, and I haven't seen any.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any ads for motorcycles in Better Homes and Gardens. Or one of my favorite magazines, Recoil.
Or MaryPoppins.com. that's a plug Poppins, to our
Mary,
another show.
Mary Poppins might be riding one in the next movie.
Well, you know, but we've heard all this stuff, and the Yamaha stars were never popular. I think the biggest problem you had with that is you tried to rebrand this whole Star Yamaha, this whole Star, and it tried to make its own thing, and no one got it.
And the ones that were successful were Harley ripoffs, like the Bolt.
Yeah, but they should have never tried to rebrand them without the Yamaha badge on them. I think that was a mistake. I think when you look at the motorcycle industry, you know, we talk a lot about like what's going on. You know, I see Kawasaki's running ads. I mean, Kawasaki at least runs ads during Supercross. They run ads during some of the other stuff. The only
ads I've seen are Harley during like Sons of Anarchy and X Games.
Uh huh.
And I've seen one Indian ad maybe about a year ago.
I've seen a couple Indian ads.
And I haven't seen but just the one. I'm talking about outside of racing.
Yeah, I've seen a few. When I look at it, I think the motorcycle industry in general is having a hard time relating to millennials.
Yeah.
I think we all do, right? Yeah.
I have one as a daughter, and it's, I'm sorry. It's hard to relate to.
I can't imagine.
But you tie what's going on with Yamaha. So they dropped their Moto America.
Yeah.
Their U.S. presence has had a took a horrendous hit numbers-wise. And they're also pulling out of California, the hub for metric bikes in the United States.
I hope
and
that
going
works
to Atlanta.
I hope that works for them.
I do too.
I can't. I would love to see all the bike manufacturers.
And they're doing
move
this,
to,
and they're not doing it because they want to. They're doing it to save money.
Yeah. Well, I hope that they get over here and they can rebrand and rebuild, and that leaves them closer to us where they need to be. They need to be close to the doghouse.
They should advertise with the
right.
Doghouse.
Well, for our support and our help. But also just get out of California. It's a crap hole for businesses.
It is now. It wasn't used to be that
there,
way.
No,
it
is now though. And it doesn't look like it's going to get any business better there. All the time, and I had a conversation with somebody last week, and they brought up, California is like the center of the bike universe in the U.S. I don't think it is. I don't think, there's a lot of bikes out there.
It has been.
I don't think it is anymore.
But it was. Well, I think, it might still be because until Yamaha moved out, you had all the metric bikes there.
Yeah, but I think you have a lot more. I think the thing that is misleading is in California, you see people riding bikes year-round. And you don't see that because you have the crappy weather here on the East Coast. But I think the East Coast, a couple spots in particular, have more bike traffic, more bike everything going on.
Yeah, East Tennessee.
Yeah, all of the whole area, North Carolina down that area, Virginia. I mean, by where I live, man, the bikes are nonstop. Just nonstop riding the mountain roads and stuff like that. And it's not like they're just Virginia techs. They're from all over the seaboard. They're coming here. So I think it's a smart move, even though they're doing it to save money. That could be the excuse, too. We saw a lot of people that cut people, and they said, we're getting rid of these people here in this business. And like Harley, we got to do this because they were looking to get out of some contracts. And I think Yamaha saw the opportunity to move and took it. And if they trash California, no one's going to think that, right? Hey, look, that's the easy way out. I hope it's a restructuring of their business plan. It sucks that they're not going to sponsor a team. Now that definitely throws JD Beach in the play next year.
Well, his contract was up this year.
But what worries me is exactly his contract was up. This was a good time for them to get out. They don't have any contracts. Now I'm actually worried. I believe next year both Gerloff and Boubier's contracts with Yamaha are up.
Oof.
I'm worried. I'm very worried that Yamaha will look at that as an opportunity saying we don't have any contracts, we don't have any guys in the thing coming up. Like that says to me a couple things. One, I didn't read no announcement that Yamaha was pulling out of British Superbike.
No.
Or British Supersport.
Or CEV.
I didn't read it that they're pulling out of CEV or Australian Superbike. The only one that I've seen anything about them pulling out of is us. Is Moto America, is the U.S. That means they've punted on getting a young rider out of the U.S. It's Boubier or nobody.
I hope you're wrong. I hope it's a numbers thing where they just can't afford it. And that could be. Unless Mother Yamaha is selling a whole bunch of pianos and shifting the money over to...
They have to be, because USA. They got... Mother Yamaha's got money that they're dumping into MotoGP. They're dumping money into World Superbike. They're dumping money into British Super. They got good British Superbike teams.
But they're not dumping anything into MotoGP. I mean,
Moto America.
American Flat Track. They're not, they haven't said anything about having a factory team there either.
No.
So maybe factory Yamaha USA is the problem.
And I'm sure that is, but racing kind of transcends that, right? Like if you're Yamaha and you're Yamaha, big time Yamaha, you're looking to have the fastest guy ever that you can find to put on your GP bike and your World Superbike bike, right?
You would hope.
So why would you take an area that's produced so many world champions, an area that has so much money, that has so many people, that has so many tracks where you can watch these guys and completely punt on that?
Good question. No easy answers.
No answers anybody wants to hear, I believe. And that's a big problem. And then it gets worse for America because, like we said earlier, it looks like Jake Gagne's out. Which
I hope
sucks.
I hope we're wrong, but
I hope we're wrong. But it does look that I don't way. See Honda running three bikes.
No,
and if the early rumors that Sykes is going to Honda are true, you know, I mean, the guy from the bigwigs of Honda HRC were at Portimao this past weekend, and they were saying stuff like, "We want a veteran. We don't want to. They want somebody that knows the tracks, that knows the layouts, that can get results." You know, maybe they're delusional and they think their bike's better than it is, and they think, put Tom Sykes on there, he's a former world champ, he should be able to win.
And
if he can, well then
that was a true statement.
Then it was a true statement. If he can't, well then maybe you got somebody Sykes will say, maybe hey, you need to do this.
Yeah,
you need to come out
with a different fireball.
Yeah, how about build me a bike that can win a race? You know, where you can't say that with Jake Gagne because Jake Gagne's never won a world superbike race or a world superbike championship.
And doesn't know the tracks.
Right, you know, I don't know what this means for Triple M Honda with PJ Jacobson. I don't know what that means. I haven't heard anything that he's not going to be there. They're not doing that. The team, you know, what we'd heard most of the summer break that Jacobson was going to be riding the factory bike this weekend at Portimao, that he got the 10 weeks, and then Leon Camier was like, crap, my job's in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Came
and that's why I really think Gagne's gone and Sykes is true, because he's probably hearing those same rumors and was like, I'm coming back early to race. And, you know, that cost Jacobson his chance to ride the factory bike and do some impressing. So this was a bad weekend for America. It's just a bad weekend for America.
As far as American Yamaha goes.
Well, yeah, but those are Hondas, right? Those guys were on Hondas,
that didn't
right?
help them
so
either.
Yeah, it was just a bad weekend for American racing.
Well, speaking of American racing,
mm-hmm.
American flat track.
Yes, sir. We didn't even talk about that 2 weeks ago.
No, you didn't. But I want to talk about something else. It's
the Bullet.
Yeah, he's seems to be doing a little bit better, but he's having a lot of medical expenses. So there's going to be a Brad Baker benefit ride and race September 29th and 30th near Eatonville, Washington. So if you're out there in Washington State or Oregon or the western end of, is that Idaho, northwestern piece of Idaho, or is that Montana? Shoot, my geography's all screwed up. Anyway, if you're out there in that area anywhere, you can go to this race. It's, if you want to race or ride, it's $30 as an entry fee. Spectators are free, donations accepted. All the money will go to Brad Baker and help defray his medical cost.
That's cool. You know, you get to see some things. He's wearing those braces so that like kind of teach you how to walk again.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your muscle memory, which I'm glad to see they're putting him in those. That means to me they think he's going to do it again, because that was just a hell of a wreck. I'm glad to see some of the guys showing up and taking some videos with him and stopping in to see him. It's got to be rough on those guys, you know.
And just, you know, what's that? The grace of God, there goes me.
Yeah. So, he's got that. So if you're in that area, that would probably be a cool thing to go to.
Eatonville, Washington.
Eatonville, Washington. I'm sure, and I haven't really done anything looking up at that, and I probably should. But I'm sure there's probably places to donate money anyways. You know, to just send money if you're out of that area.
You know, I would have thought with all the, you know, Twitter and Facebook and everything, that we would have saw if somebody started a GoFundMe page.
Or
Kickstarter or something.
And
I don't remember seeing anything about it.
I haven't.
So maybe it was something we'll look up between now and next week to see. And if there is, we'll make sure you guys know about it. So if you want to help out Brad the Bullet, you'll be able to.
Yeah.
And if there is, we'll also put it on our Facebook and Twitter pages.
Yeah, we'll push it out if we find something like that. I'm sure there's got to be some place to send some donations and stuff like that.
Well, there is if you're in Eatonville.
Yeah,
Washington,
but I'm just saying, other than that.
Yeah.
So that seems to be. It was a rough weekend for us. We do have MotoGP coming up this weekend. MotoGP will be where were they? They were just last. They'll be in Aragon now, right? They were at Misano last. So
I was going to let you flounder for another few seconds.
Yeah, no, they'll be in Aragon next. The final professional races of Roger Hayden
is this weekend.
Is this weekend at Barber Motorsports Park. And what was it? Cycle Gear's offering 25% off coupons.
Yes.
For getting tickets for the Moto America race, if you're in that area.
And you want to save a few dollars?
Barber's a beautiful track. It's also worth getting there a little early and checking out the museum. You'll be frustrated like I was.
Because you can't touch cool anything?
But it does have the legendary Motus, one-of-a-kind bike there.
Oh my God. I surprised you guys didn't bring this up about Motus a few weeks ago.
I must have missed it.
Keep talking for a second while I pull up the article.
I will
article.
Keep talking. So it's Roger Hayden's last pro superbike races. You know, so if you're in the area, that's a great track. You know, Ken and I really had a good time there a few years ago. They had a lot going on. I'm sure there'll be some kind of bike night in the area. I don't have all the details on that. But there's a thing called Google, and you can look it up and do the work yourself. I'm stalling here.
All right.
You got to hurry up.
Motus Motorcycle closes its doors.
No!
Yes.
No!
It is...
Shocking!
It is with great regret that we want to inform you that Motus Motorcycle is ceasing business operations as the American motorcycle startup has reached the end of its financial backing from investors.
No! I don't believe it. What about all the people who had down payments?
It doesn't say how many they delivered, but they have delivered a bunch of bikes. So it was more than just the one that you kept teasing them about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've never seen it.
The American-made V4 motorcycles were truly unique in the market with pushrod engine design that borrowed from American muscle car scene. This is made for a raw and powerful engine characteristic, which has truly put the sport in sport touring. And they were starting to come out with a Street Fighter bike as well, but that didn't work. So Motus is no longer our punching bag for Ken and Phil.
It will forever be our punching bag.
It's a deflated punching bag now.
Yeah, maybe a little deflated, but yeah, I mean, I know I sound like I'm gloating at the failure, but I mean, when we talked to that guy, I believe his name was like Lee Khan, and he was like, yeah, we're going to try and get like $35,000 to $38,000 for a bike. We were like, the girlies are free, but the crack costs money. Why would I buy that for way less? I can buy a BMW that has dealers and backing and it's going to be around forever. You know, they were just way unrealistic, and I get it. It's expensive to buy a Corvette, cut the motor in half, put it in a motorcycle, right? I get that. That's all expensive, but nobody's buying a $40,000 bike. Not right now. No one. So whatever, apparently, but they were smarter than us. It's just nice to know the doghouse outlasted Motus. point of view. Important things. Guess what was released today? Guess.
I have no clue. You tell me.
The 2019 Supercross
Schedule.
Here we go. Only two trips to Anaheim. Hooray.
Only two.
Anaheim 1, Anaheim 2. So it starts out at Anaheim on January 5th. Happy New Year, bitches. January 12th, Glendale, Arizona. January 19th, back to Anaheim because they hadn't been there in almost 2 weeks. January 26th, Oakland. Why don't they just call this Supercross of California? Petco Park in San Diego on February 2, on the deuce of February. February 9er, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We should go to that. There's going to be like 15 feet of snow.
It'll be more than that.
At least
15 degrees below zero.
Yeah, that sounds like the one we should hit. February 16, Arlington, Texas, home of the Cowgirls.
Who beat your Giants?
They whipped my Giants. It wasn't even that close. February 23rd, Ford Field in Detroit, Michigan. I'm kind of I wouldn't mind going to that one. I just don't know if I have enough guns.
Don't think I ever left anything Detroit that I need to go back for.
Even Supercross?
Even Supercross. Because there's a few other places on this list that I wouldn't mind going to.
March 2nd, maybe we can go to Atlanta, Georgia, check out Yamaha's new home offices and Supercross at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I don't know if I can go to a stadium called Mercedes-Benz to watch dirt bikes. Breaks my heart. March 9th, Daytona International Speedway, Daytona Beach, Florida. When you need a bed, they do have it good.
And that could be in a good race or a sloppy race. You never know at that time of year.
Yeah, that's such a great race. March 16th, Indianapolis, Indiana, Lucas Oil Stadium. Indy. I want to go there just so I can yell, Indy, and you yell, Dr. Jones. I'm going to be like, Dr. Jones, Indiana. That's what I'm going to say. Dr. Jones, Indiana. March 23rd, SeaTown, home of Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back, Seattle, Washington. Love it.
That was where the really sloppy get your bike stuck in the mud race was.
Yeah, that was a great race last year. March 30th, Houston Oilers, Houston, Texas, at the NRG Stadium. April 16th, new stop. New stop alert. We should have
new stop. New stop. New city. New city.
Nissan Stadium, Nashville, Tennessee.
That might be a good one to go to. Yeah.
Right, Dollywood. What else is in Nashville? Grand Ole Opry. Well, Dollywood's actually near Memphis, right?
Yeah. No, Dollywood's Pigeon Forge.
Pigeon Forge, that's right. Grand Ole Opry.
This is the country music scene.
Yeah, country music scene. That might not be a bad
Tennessee
one.
Titans.
April 13th, home of the Denver Broncos, Broncos Stadium at Mile High. Roll them up, light them up, inhale, exhale. Denver, Colorado, new stop.
Two new stops.
I like it. They so do far. Hit Colorado during the motocross season, so I'm liking that. April 27th, it'll be our home race. Be the one closest to us, but who the hell wants to go to Jersey? Heath Rutherford, New Jersey to Meadowlands.
That's They're three returning. New stops. That's a return, but
that's a return, new, but new that's new for year. This year because they've been in Foxborough for, 2 years now or something like that. And then they wrap up the season May 4th, Sam Boyd Stadium, Las Vegas.
That's where it all comes to an end.
That's where the season ends. The championships get decided. May it probably be before that. So we got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, only 17 rounds. We're one round short.
We'll just stick another Anaheim in there.
I'm going to throw out.
We've had Anaheim 3 in the past.
How about May 11th?
Verizon Field.
Nats Park. Washington, D.C.
Well, won't baseball season be underway?
I don't care.
They could do it at Verizon Field, whatever the RFK home of the Redskins
Stadium?
Is.
No.
No, it's not RFK. What's the...
They could do it at RFK. That place is empty.
No, they'd still do some stuff there. I think D.C. United soccer team plays there.
Yeah, whatever. The place is empty.
It may be by next year because they're building a new soccer stadium.
That's right. RFK Stadium. Let's get one in the Mid-Atlantic.
Come on, guys.
Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh. I would do another trip to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Right? Three River Stadium, Pittsburgh.
Verizon or whatever. FedEx Field is what it
FedEx
is.
Field. FedEx Field. FedEx Field in Washington. Let me name some other places. How about where the Ravens play in Baltimore?
That would be a good one. I drove by it. Philadelphia.
Gunshot out? No, I ain't going to Philly. No.
It's right off 95. You can't. It's super easy.
I don't want it
to.
Yeah, right. Whatever. I don't want these people to get their stuff stolen. That's why maybe Baltimore might be out too. But there are plenty of places here on the East Coast that aren't New Jersey. We'd love to see you guys closer to home. I'd even be happy with a Charlotte, North Carolina. How about this? Oh, my God. This is genius. Supercross. All I want is free tickets, free beer, and media credentials. Richmond International Raceway.
Oof.
Or Martinsville Speedway. Either side of the state.
I don't think it'd work too well in Martinsville, to be honest with you.
Why not?
It's too far from a population center.
I would travel to go watch it there.
Yeah. And you could get a bunch of people from the D.C. area to go down to Richmond.
Yeah, Richmond would pack. Right? Richmond. Richmond. Richmond.
So I would be okay with Richmond.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear right there. Richmond. That's where I want to see it. 90,000 people packed in to watch all those guys go fast. I love it.
Leaping through the air like Superman.
Yeah, it'd be badass. I would like that. Let's get it done. Get it done, Supercross. Do we got anything else to talk about? I feel like we did.
No, we think we stretched out a lot as it is now.
Yeah, we kind of went way over on a lot of things. When's the next flat track race? I don't remember.
Nor do I.
10 days from now. So we'll talk about that next week. We actually went a second week without really talking about the results and what happened. At Williams Grove back there on the 8th, 2 weeks ago. But the Bauman brothers won, were first and second, which I got all excited because I saw siblings go 1 and 2. And when you say siblings, I was going, oh, my God, it's Shayna Texter and Corey Texter, but it wasn't. So then I got all bitter, and I didn't want to talk about it because I got mad.
You got bitter?
Yeah, I know. It was a great surprise. Right?
Who would have thought
that? I never
that?
Get mad, right? Tanner Dean won in the 250s. Texter was in second. Shayna Texter. Corey was, I don't know where he was. I don't know. He might have raced the twins there. I don't know. So they're coming up. But you got Moto America this week, MotoGP this week.
That's about it
for racing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see what else happens with what's going on in the world of silly season, right? That's our favorite time of the year. We like the silly season. Maybe we'll have a maybe next week we'll have a story of the tow truck that had to come to get Warren's Harley. I just brought that up for Dave M. Dave M loves when we talk about your bike not running.
Yeah, well,
he does.
It didn't this time.
I don't remember. Did we talk about volunteering for being corner workers last week?
No, we can do that next week as well.
We'll talk about that next week too. We got an interesting.
If you guys
want to,
yeah, we'll bring you something. If you're interested in seeing a professional motorcycle race up close and personal,
yeah, like we got an interesting comment from a listener.
Save it for next week.
Yeah, I know. I'm saving it for next week. I'm waiting for the damn music to come on, Warren. I was
press
teasing.
The button.
This is called teasing, Warren. Not your, oh, I'm going to do these stupid segues.
Press the button.
Speaking of jerks, hey, I want to do this. No, listen.
Press the button.
The button's pressed.
Then why is anything happening?
I don't know. Probably because your big mouth keeps talking. Shut up.
Be quiet.
Shut up, shutting up. But we got an interesting Facebook message that we'll talk about a little bit next week. Kind of cool concept, kind of, interesting. We like it. It'll be something for you to do next year if you're interested. What else was going on? The music's on, right? I didn't mute it.
I don't hear anything.
I don't hear it. Why am I not hearing the music? I blame Warren and his gerbil. What's your gerbil's name?
Ken.
Ken. that's more like a hamster. Yes. Oh, one other thing. World Superbike did announce a 3-year deal with an Irish track in Northern Ireland called Lake Torrent Circuit. Which means I guess you'll be able to download it illegally on the internet. I don't know how that happens, but they got a new track for starting. They're going to be there 2019, 2020, 2021. That's 3 years. That's how that works in racing. Looks like a cool track. There's going to be a lot of Irish people there. That means probably drinking. There'll probably be a bunch of like soccer hooligans on the side going, this is not real racing. There's walls and there's tracks and there's runoffs. You got to hit the trees, man. And all that kind of good stuff. I don't have a good Irish accent.
No, you don't.
I don't. And I wasn't even trying to. I was just trying to be... I was trying to make
I hear the music
Ireland
Phil.
Being a redneck from, like, Jersey.
I hear the music, Phil.
I know. It's about time. Warren, I'm going to shut your mic off being an idiot.
I hear the music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Goodbye, Warren. Anyways, this has been The Doghouse here on NDNRadio.com. I shut his mic off. You can send your thank yous to me. At Phil at NTNRadio.com. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.